We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yay, yay. 3, 2, 1. Welcome to Get Your Popcorn Ready Podcast. It's your host, Hatch, with my boy.
Yo, in the building.
There it is, my guy. What's up, T? How you feeling, baby?
Man, I feel good. I look good. And you know, this show is about to be good because we got my girl coming up in this piece. One of the top choreographers in the game, Trisha Miranda.
Yeah, yes, you can't stutter on her name, dog. You can't stutter on her name. And talented choreographer, Trisha Miranda.
Choreographer.
It's choreographer.
No, it's not.
It is today.
It's choreographer.
You know what? I think the reason you want to have her on the show is because I've been on your IG over the last couple months. I see you trying to take off a little bit. And you have the new nickname, TikTok Queen. I saw that on your IG.
No, first of all, I'm not a queen. Hey, everybody realizes
I'm a TikTok Queen. I'm just repeating what I saw on IG. You can't be mad at me.
Check this out, everybody that's listening. You're not going to sit up here and call me no TikTok Queen.
Hey, I didn't call you the TikTok Queen. I'm just telling you what I read on IG, my dog.
Well, with your reading IQ, ain't no telling what you reading. You didn't get past third grade, so I'm just saying. You got a third grade reading level.
You out your mind, dog.
Just kidding. But anyway, man, hey, like you said, you've been seeing me TikTok throughout the quarantine when everybody's kind of locked down, locked up. So I subjected myself to TikTok, got on there, did a couple of routines, skits here and there. And then I realized, bro, like when I posted and everybody saw that energy, and I'm pretty sure Trisha, she'll explain what energy does for a dancer, being that that's what I am.
Oh,
it radiates through my platform. To the where people was like, man, they were enjoying it, bro. They were enjoying it. So that made me want to do even more TikTok. So you know what? I ain't going to say I'm the TikTok king or queen, but let me tell you something. When I get on there, when I dance, when I do my thing, bro, people recognize it. They realize that, hey, this boy is talented.
You know what? When we go find out, you're lucky we ain't doing this in person because I would make you get up and do a dance, have her judge, and you would know to get an F minus. And
you know what? I would say less, and I'd be right there in the spot.
There it is, coming up on Get Your Popcorn Ready Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on the Himalaya app or wherever you get your podcast.
Yes, yep. And then also, if you want to get a glimpse of yours truly, Handsome T.O., and I ain't going to say the big head guy name.
Yeah.
Matthew Hatchett. Yeah, you want to see us, please subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Terrell Owens.
Yeet. Welcome to Get Your Popcorn Ready Podcast. This your host, Hatch, with my boy.
Yeah, this is me right here. Y'all see me. Y'all get a double dose of T.O. today. You see me right there. You know the name of the show, Get Your Popcorn Ready, with your boy T.O. and my boy Hatch. We are in the building, and we have one of the most, if not the best, the greatest, talented, choreographers in all of the United States
drum
of
roll.
America.
Hey, maybe nationally, maybe worldwide. She's right. She's worldwide.
Right. Miss Trisha Miranda.
What's up, bro? What's up, Trisha? How you doing, ma?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Can we call you Trish or is it Trisha? Do you have a nickname or, you know, y'all dancers be having some crazy nicknames like Boogaloo and Jigaloo and, you know, monkey leg.
No, crazy. You can just call me Trisha, Trish, or T. Whatever.
Okay, you can't call T. There's
only one T. But I call him T. So I call him T. So.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Whatever. Just don't call me Patricia. Whatever you do.
Patricia?
Okay.
Don't
call. That sounds like an old lady. Patricia.
Don't call me like government name.
You know what I'm saying? He's trying to put you out there. Tell him. It's all good. Well, no, thank you for coming on the show. We really appreciate you taking the time out. Said we know you're out here in Los Angeles still doing. You guys, we had a battle last night, I think you said. So you guys still making moves out there. How'd it go last night with the battle?
It was so dope. You know, there's like a lot of stuff like going on in our dance industry too. Or, mm-hmm. you know, aside from what's going on in the world, there's stuff going on in our dance industry that's pretty dark and traumatic. And a lot
in
of
what, in what way? In what way?
I won't get too deep, but there's a lot of mentors of these kids and choreographers that are my brothers that are being exposed for assault and, you know.
Wow. Okay.
Really, really dark stuff. So a lot of the kids are either wanting to leave the industry or some are not wanting to move out now and be a part of it because a lot is being exposed this year, just like everything else in the world that's being exposed. It's also being exposed in the dance community. And right now is like the dance community's Me Too movement, what's happening right now. So last night I just wanted to get all my kids together and like the new generation coming up. So the really young adults coming up, and I just wanted to get them into a space where we can cipher, we can battle, we can be around good energy, support each other, and just kind of like release. Because, you know, freestyling versus choreography, it's a different type of release. There's no thinking, there's just going, and you know, different music makes you feel differently. So instead of working on a piece of choreography to the same song, freestylers, we play different songs every time. And then I have some new kids coming in that are just entering, and I have some older kids that have been working and have been a part of the business. So I had those two like battling each other, and it's crazy because the new ones coming in kind of beat out the older ones. You know what I mean? So it's a good like healthy competition to keep the older ones that are seasoned, keep them still working. You know what I mean? And then the new kids that are hungry, just, you know, get them exposed to that type of environment. That's what's ultimately they're going to be
thrown. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, just let's talk a little bit, elaborate a little bit about that energy. Cause you know, obviously choreographed dances, obviously it's totally different than freestyle. I can touch on that a little bit because I was on Dancing with the Stars and I know what choreography is like. So it's definitely hard. I have the utmost respect for dancers. I mean, I walked away from there being enlightened at just the amount of hours and how much wear and tear dancing puts on your body. So obviously with so many things going on, aside from, you know, the racial inequality and things that we're dealing with as a country, and you're talking about now in the dance community, you're having to deal with that. Explain, you know, the difference between, like you said, having to bring that energy and then you need that release, especially as a dancer, but just a long set aside, just dealing with the whole Me Too and then having that safe haven, having that facility. I know Millennium there where kids, you know, the older group, they can go in there and then just, like you said, just release and just dance and just vibe. And it's all about that energy. Explain the difference between just having, you know, someone coming in there, the kids going there and even adults going in there and just dancing, freestyle, releasing and just letting it all flow versus something choreographed.
So like with what I wanted to do last night, a lot of these kids are going through a depression, you know, they're teenagers and they're young adults. And I want to say between, you know, the ages of 13 to say like 21, 22, all these kids are super depressed. You have the ones that didn't get to walk the line this year. that graduated high school and had to graduate via Zoom. Like, I mean, that's like one of the biggest moments in your entire life. And to not be able to walk the line and have your family there and to throw your cap and, you know, just that whole experience, it's like so heartbreaking. And I know it's not as heartbreaking up against all the other issues we're dealing with police brutality and stuff like that. But these kids are real depressed. And because having to quarantine, they're not able to see their friends. And when these kids are the type of kids that are, they're homeschooled, most of them, because they work so much in the industry, they're homeschooled. So they do their work at home and then they're in the studio all day long. Not like other kids where you're in a public school to about 3 p.m. and then go to the studio. Like these kids are in auditions at 8 a.m., 9 a.m. They're in rehearsals from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Like they're working, like hardcore working. So to have all that stripped away and you're a teenager that's having to deal with social media and then you're isolated and you're only with your parents or your guardian or, you know, it's just,
that's a lot.
So hard for these kids and they're so depressed because learning off of Zoom is there's no energy. Like you're talking about, see, there's no energy. So to have to learn from Zoom and, you know, us as educators, we're trying our hardest to keep them inspired through the screen, but it's so, so hard. So last night, you know, all of us have been quarantined for, I mean, many, many months, but also we've been kind of ciphering in small groups here and there all together for like the past month now. So we've, you know, we're good. But I wanted to bring these kids together because they are just so desperate to be around the energy. A lot of them don't even take the Zoom classes anymore because there's just nothing there. So what happened last night was coming in and rallying them together. And I'm like someone everyone in the dance community considers like a second mom. Like my nickname is Mama T to my kids. Even like the 30-year-olds. They'll be like, hey, yeah. Mama T. And I'll be like, hey, I'm not your mother. I'm not that old. Right. You know, but like a joke, you know? So it's like I really love and care for these kids. So last night I brought them in, I sat them down, I said, listen, I just wanted to bring my favorite dancers and like some of the best movers from the young generation all together to push each other to get inspired again. I had one of my kids that I brought out from New York that has just been, you know, he hasn't been dancing that much, he hasn't been inspired, he's just been doing his BMX stuff, which is the only thing that's keeping him motivated and happy. And I was like, you gotta come out here, I haven't seen you in a year. And he used to live in this studio like all day every day. So they just got to come out, they got to release and have fun. And because it's freestyle and they're all strong at what they do, they are able to just not think and just go. Literally, they black out. Like if you ask them what they just did after they dance, they won't know. They said, I have no idea. Like we just black out. And you know, it's just a different release when, say, I'm just teaching a class at Millennium and have the dancers come in and then I give them a warm up and I'm teaching them choreography. They're having to think, they're having to, you know, go over choreography, they're having to polish it, they're having to, you know, drill it and whatever. Yeah. And you know, a lot of times if you're not comfortable with that choreography, if you're not quick at picking up, if you don't get called out in what we call select groups, like at the end where you're showcased, it, you know, as humans, you know, we feel a type of way, like dang, like, you know, it's a mental thing. But with freestyle, it's not like that. You have this cipher circle where you're just thrown in the middle and like everyone is just hyping you up. Like as performers, we feed off that energy, and that energy to us is like the energy an artist has when they're on stage at an award show, on tour, where their fans are just screaming in the stadiums and the arenas.
Yeah.
That energy is how we feel as dancers in a cipher. And like, even people that don't get along, like if there's people in there that are your haters that don't look at you, you're stupid.
He's offbeat. He don't even know it, but you know go ahead.
Like if there's people in that group during that cipher, and like if y'all don't like mess with each other in real life, But and during that cipher, if you do something dope, they're going to support it.
Absolutely.
Right. It's like back in the day when it was breakdancing, you know what I mean? With turbo ozone, and everybody used to get in that circle. And then, yeah, you become a creator right there on the spot. You're vibing to the energy. You're going with the beats of the music, the song. And then it's crazy. Like I said, I used to breakdance back in the day. Like I said,
oh, my that's favorite. A horrible sight. Oh, that's disgusting.
I need to validate that.
I need some film on that. I definitely need some film on that.
Trust me, you guys, I got moved. Hey, we're talking to the lovely Miss Trisha Miranda right here. But again, I understand what you're saying. Like I said, you don't want to be Mama T, but you're going to be Mama T.
You're going to be Mama T today.
Right.
Everybody. I mean, I don't mind it when the little ones call me that. And like, you know, like if they're young enough to be my child,
then you don't mind it.
Like, I'm 40. If you're 39 calling me Mama T, I'm like,
yeah, that's funny.
Right.
So
how can it's a good sign of respect.
Yeah, it's a sign of respect, right? So kind of give us give the listeners like a little of background of, is this a class or a school, and then how did it all start on your end?
Yeah, okay. but also Trish, before you do that, Hatch, we got to like let everybody know, like, really who you are, what you've done. You've done so much, even to get where you are. You started out as a background dancer for a number of, I mean, well-known artists, from Gwen Stefani, Jennifer Lopez, Prince. I mean, rest in peace. I mean, I'm getting chills. I mean, to background dance for Prince, he's like one of the, between him and Michael Jackson, they're like one of the two top, like, real like artists and performers. And so you've gotten the chance to work with some of these people. So I want our listeners to really know that, you asked like, why are you on this show? I want people to know who you are, because like I said, I've had a chance to meet you, know you. I've gone to the studio. I've watched you work. I've watched these kids that you're talking about. I've watched them like do their thing. But we want people to know who Trisha Miranda is while they're listening, and when they're done listening to this show. So definitely. I mean, it's definitely a pat on your back, and we're gonna extra pat you. Let everybody know who you are, what you've done, because you really, really deserve this.
Thank you so much, T. That really means a lot to me.
Absolutely.
I'm kind of uncomfortable like being in front of the camera, because I just love basically, what do you call it?
the background, because choreographing is in like the background, basically.
Yeah, but I just love showcasing like my dancers, because they're so dope. So anytime I have to talk about myself, I just get a little uncomfortable, because I don't know, it's just weird to be like, I've done this. But I guess I'll just run off the credits, like whatever. So I danced for probably maybe 13 years before transitioning on to choreography. But I started like, and I'll try to speed through it fast, but I grew up in a really small town, Yuma, Arizona. And I started at the age of 4 in ballet and jazz. And then at the age of 5, I started competing nationally. And then at the age of 8, I started jazz. At the age of 12, I started assisting my dance teacher, who has MS, who was in a wheelchair. At the age of 14, I had my first class teaching a jazz class. And then at the age of 19, I started my own hip-hop classes, because we didn't have hip-hop offered in our small town. So I started hip-hop, and just based off of the stuff that I learned from music videos and award shows and tours, you know, everything that was on TV, everything that was televised, I would record it on VHS and watch it and learn it. To co-directing a ballet company at the age of 17, because our directors were fired, and the owner of the studio and myself had to come together and save the company. And then when I turned 21, I moved out here to LA and, you know, got an agent, started auditioning. My first big job ever was Beyonce's first solo tour. So
wow, that's your first job working with Queen B?
I literally went from the Yin Yang Twins Salt Shaker video.
Yeah, okay.
On a table, and they're throwing money, and I'm in a bikini top and a skirt, to like from that to going on tour with Beyonce. And
wow,
they were looking for one girl to join the tour because Carmeet from the Pussycat Dolls, she's the redhead, they had just signed their record deal. So Carmeet could no longer be a backup dancer because she was now an artist. So they had to find someone to replace her. And so I ended up being that one girl. So I went on tour, and the tour was, Tamia was like the opener. And then it was Alicia Keys and Missy Elliott. And then we were the headliner, Beyonce.
Wow.
So that was
awesome.
Incredible. So then going on from there, like, you have different types of dancers where there's dancers that do a lot of television and film. And then there's dancers that are always in the commercials. And then there's dancers that do hundreds of music videos. And then there's the dancers that you have on tour or, you know, award shows. And it's very rare to get a dancer that really does everything. You know, usually it's like one thing. And I've done film and I've done commercials, but not like tours. So I create the way I create now because I lived on tour for so many years. You know, I toured with Beyonce twice.
Wow. Awesome.
I was able to choreograph for her. I toured with J-Lo, Black Eyed Peas, Jamie Foxx. I danced for Brit. I forget what I've done, but I've danced with Britney, Prince.
Wow, this is, and so how old are you? How old are you when you're, like I said, you're just, I mean, obviously you're in this dance space, and then like you said, you go from the Yin Yang Twins, then you go to like Queen B. How old are you at this point?
I was 24.
So, wow. Is that, to be 24 and now you, I mean, obviously Beyonce is like, she's Queen B. So at 24, are you nervous? You know, meeting Queen B, you know, I don't think she was Queen B at that time, but just Beyonce. And then, or like, I can't imagine like being in your shoes and you're having to obviously dance, you know, create, choreograph, like the routine. Is that nerve wracking? Do you guys collaborate? Is it all you, or is it just a combination of both?
So my story and relationship with Beyonce is a lot different than any other artist that I've choreographed for, because I was dancing for Beyonce at 24. I wasn't choreographing for her. So I was the dancer. It was terrifying. I was I wanted to throw up like 10 times going into rehearsal. It was so terrifying. But thank God I work really, really well under pressure. That's like, I think my specialty is working really well under pressure. So,
yeah, we do. You're just like me. I work well under pressure as well. I mean, that's why we're as great as we are, you know. Sometimes you get put in situations, you either got a fight or flight, it's a make or break.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
for me and
you did have a long career as a backup dancer as well, like I did. Mine is not as long as yours. I wish I had the dance career you did.
If you look up some of my my touchdown celebrations, you would probably think, okay, yeah, he could have had a career at background dancing.
Don't lie to these people. I choreographed those dances for you.
I knew it. I've been waiting for the person.
I'm trying to take credit.
I've been waiting for the person to come out and tell the secret how T got his dances. Now I know.
He ain't creative. On one groove.
T ain't that creative. I knew it.
No, but. When I got my first opportunity to choreograph for her, I want to say that was in like 2006, 2009. I was asked by her choreographer, Frank Gadsden, at the time I actually auditioned for the video. This was for the Diva video. And I actually auditioned as a dancer, and I didn't get booked as a dancer. I saw Frank at Jamba Juice, and I was like, oh, hey, what's up? You know, I'm on my way to go teach my class. And he was like, oh, you teach? And I was like, yeah. So he ended up dropping by my class, saw my choreography. Then he texted me the next day and was like, I want you to submit choreography for the music video. We're already in rehearsals, but we'd love for you to submit something. And I was like, word? I was like, okay. So I did. I put something together. I came into rehearsal. They were already in rehearsals. Jaquel Knight was the choreographer for Beyonce at the time under Frank, and Jaquel, just so you guys know, is a choreographer that did Single Ladies. Mm-hmm. So
Oh, the single ladies.
Yeah. So, you know, he's phenomenal. So he was the choreographer for that video. And then I came in and they asked me to choreograph like just a hook. And I came in with more material, you know. So I came in with the second verse and a hook. And they were just like, Frank, you know, he was just like, watched it once. And he was like, okay. Like, oh my God, he hates me. Oh my God, he hates
it. Right.
And then he was like, do it again. And I was like, okay. So we did it again, me and my two dancers. And then he was like, all right. And then he looked at the two girls that were on the job. And he's like, start learning it.
There it is.
So it wasn't like a, all right, I'm going to hire you. Come back this day. It was like, all
right. We start right now. Yeah, we starting right now.
And I was like, okay. So, you know, and so, you know, that was one opportunity. What's up, T?
So how long did it take those two when he said, he asked her, he goes, he told those other two girls, the two dancers to learn it. So how long did it take them to pick up on the dance? Because like I said, the reason I'm asking for our listeners is because people don't understand, like for somebody that's a non-dancer versus somebody that understands how to dance and understand eight count, the learning curve is drastically different.
Drastically different. I've actually choreographed on actors, and I've choreographed on artists, and I've choreographed on dancers, and it's all different. Like, it's so different. And with dancers, if you're a professional dancer and you're already dancing for artists, like, you've got to pick up like this. So they probably learned all of my choreography in like 15, 20 minutes.
Wow.
What?
Yeah, but I gotta say with Beyonce, so we didn't have not one rehearsal with her. Neither did the girls. I don't think, maybe with Jacquel, but I never saw her in a rehearsal. So I had to teach B on set right before we shot.
And she picked it up like that.
Oh, like,
because that's what B do.
Yeah, you like, know what I'm saying? But I was behind the camera, like, doing the choreography at the same time, just to make her feel comfortable in case she ever got off track, that she could see me and reference it, because she just learned it. It's not like she had rehearsal. And you don't have to do that with her. She's gonna remember everything, but like, she literally learned it like real fast. Like, okay, looking at the video, okay, boom, 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 this is that. Okay, let's shoot.
Boom.
Okay, next section, look at it, learn it, okay.
Wow.
Boom, 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 shoot, okay. So with her, it was crazy, you know. But then,
so how long was the song? How long was the dance routine? A minute, minute and a half? Like, give me an idea so I can tell people, like, really how long that would really take somebody like myself, a non-dancer.
Well, I want to say I taught her a verse and a hook. I would say that's at least 90 seconds.
Right.
Hold on, because 90 seconds in just the real world, like,
that's right. That's a long time. That's a long time.
Sounds like that's nothing. You guys are complaining for 90 seconds. When I tell you 90 seconds of choreography, it's a lot. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
It's crazy because there's been like artists or people that just aren't educated with choreography, or like their managers, they'll come to me and they'll be like, hey, we want you to choreograph this song. And, you know, it'll be like, they'll give me a rate or whatever. And it's like a 5-minute song. Or they ask you to do like a 20-minute set. And I'm like, you do understand. That's
that's forever.
That's a lot of choreography.
Yeah, right.
You guys are understanding, because you're just thinking, oh, 5 minutes. It goes by so fast. But
right. So let me put it right. So let me put it in context for everybody that's listening. Everybody, we have Trisha Miranda here, one of the top choreographers in all of the United States, especially LA.
In the world.
Just so Dancing with the Stars, I think we never had a routine, I think, no longer than a minute and maybe 15, 20 seconds. So when I got one that was a minute, especially in rehearsal, I knew that it was quick. And I'm like, oh my God, this is easy. But when you get into like for somebody that doesn't dance, like a minute, 15, 20, and you talk about a minute and 30, that's a long time. So get.
Speaking of pauses, let's take a pause for the calls. So we'll be right back in a few to get your popcorn ready podcast.
Yeah, let's take a pause for the call. A little break in action. We got a few sponsors that we want to shout out. That's who's bringing Get Your Popcorn Ready to you. So stay tuned. As we settle into this new normal version of whatever that could be during this pandemic, Bespoke Post is here with customized box of awesome collections for guys guaranteed to upgrade your life. Bespoke Post only sends guys the best stuff every month. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered. From style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and outdoor gear, Box of Awesome has carefully built collections for every part of your life.
And to get started, all you got to do is take a quiz. So take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them pick out the right Box of Awesome for you. They release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up and you can skip a month or cancel at any time. Each box costs only $45, but it has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code popcorn at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code popcorn for 20% off your first box.
Absolutely. And I'm going to repeat that, reiterate it, be redundant. Yes. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter my favorite code popcorn at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com. My favorite code again, popcorn for 20% off your first box. Hey, Hedge, man, this pandemic has basically just changed this whole entire world. I mean, it's basically shifted people's worlds upside down, sideways, and all kind of witcher ways. But with all of that happening, it has helped me in a number of areas. Not in the style and grooming area because I'm already fly anyway.
Well, you need help in that too. So, but what else has it helped you with?
No, I will say it has helped me with, like, in the kitchen. You know what I mean? You know, with some cooking tools and things of that nature. You know, like I will admit I'm not great in the kitchen. I would say I'll go as being as humble as I can and say I'm not even good in the kitchen.
Okay.
I will not starve. That's what I will not do. I won't starve. So I appreciate Box of Awesome. You know, with some of their, you know, their stuff that they're sending me, because like I said, they have stuff for every part of your life. So if you're lacking in some area, and looking at you, you're definitely lacking in a lot of areas. Just looking at you. They can provide something for you.
Well, seems how the Christmas holidays are coming up. I would hope Bespoke Post will give T.O. a box of awesome with a peppermint in it, because your breath is kicking like karate. You know what I'm saying? So Box of Awesome, if you guys could do that for me, put a little peppermint, maybe some Listerine shots in there and send that to T. We sure would appreciate you coming up. Hey,
That's lame. That's real. That's harsh though. That's good. But I'll take the peppermint. I'll take the mouthwash. All of that too because you know, hey, you know, you can't be going all up in these girls' face with no dragon. You know what I mean? So I'll take the peppermint. I'll take whatever Box of Awesome has for me. Hey, a Box of Awesome for somebody that's awesome.
Guys, looking to last longer and get your Rocky Balboa on and go a few extra rounds?
Do you want to be confident every time it's time for sex? I know there's a lot of you guys out there that may have the case of the preemies. That's premature. I'm not going to say it. But if you don't want to be that, go to BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com has the first ever chewable that brings your performance into the bedroom to another level. Check this out.
They've got the same active ingredients that are in Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. Since they're chewable, they can work faster. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach.
And this stuff is cheaper than those other two, so this is a no-brainer. Basically, if you like sex, you'll like BlueChew.com. Plus, you don't need to go to the doctor's office or spend time waiting in the pharmacy line. BlueChew's online physician consult is free, and once approved, your order ships straight to your door in discreet packaging.
Here's a great deal for you guys. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use promo code GPR. Just pay $5 in shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code GPR.
Yep. And for you preemies again, you premature guys, hey, here's a great deal for you guys. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use promo code GPR. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code GPR.
For the listeners, if Trisha Miranda came to me right now, it's like, yo, this song is a minute and 30, it would take me the entire week.
Yeah, because you have two left feet. You have two left feet. Of course it's going to take. It would take me about a day, but it would take you definitely a week, T, for sure.
I said, everybody's learning curve is different. Being that you have a bigger head, you can retain a lot. So you probably will be able to pick it up really quick.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So you got a big dome.
Because I'm on beat, you dig?
Tell me why I thought he was talking about me.
No, I'm talking about this clown over here. But yeah, I mean, it took me like, again, and I was on the 25th season of Dancing with the Stars, and that's when they started to introduce like all these new things to try to, you know, kind of spruce up the viewership. And so it got to a point to where they challenged us and we had to do two dances in a week. And my head almost exploded. I almost wanted to quit. I almost wanted to cry because one dance routine, it took me literally the entire week. And by the end of because the dancers, we have the show on Monday and we have to do rehearsal on Sunday. It literally took me all week to end up learning the intimate details of the routine, the choreography, to be able to perform on Mondays. I'm talking about literally, if we came in on Tuesday after our Monday show, we literally had to learn the routine. I had to learn the steps, and I didn't understand eight count. So I had to literally go off the sound of music. I had to watch my partner, Cheryl Burke. I had to watch her. She had to teach me. And then by the end of the week, my head was about to explode, but it was something about the day of when we actually shot and it was live. I seemed to put everything together, but just to put in context for everybody, you said you basically, you showed Beyonce and she picked it up and it was like within 15 minutes. And that's on the spot.
Yeah.
Because she's a professional.
But not all artists can do that. It's very rare to be able to do what she can do. Because I've choreographed for a lot of artists and they can't do what she does, you know? And with that, like in the same breath of what you're talking about, of you, you know, having to learn one routine in a whole week, like the dancers, you know, say when we're on a tour and we're creating a tour, and that's just a 1 minute, 30 second piece you're talking about.
Right.
Us as choreographers and these dancers learning on a tour, we're setting 1 to 2 songs a day. And I'm saying songs like 3 to 5 minute songs, you know, and a day, and that's creating on the spot, teaching the dancers, staging the dancers, stunts, you know, it's so much that they have to learn, and we're having to get it all out so fast. So there's times where, I mean, I put an entire tour together for Nicki Minaj. Yeah, right. Nicki Minaj, mm-hmm. I want to say in 3 weeks. Maybe we rehearsed 3 weeks, an entire, like, was it a 1.5 to 2 hour set, something like that? It was a lot.
And I'm gonna need you to really. Trisha, I'm gonna need you to let people know. I mean, you just saying, I'm doing this for Nicki. Like, Nicki is your cousin or she's your homie.
That is the homie.
Right. Yeah. But we need people to know, like, yo, you're not just a pretty face. You're just not somebody just, you know, offering your services. Like, yo, this is you're doing stuff with Nicki Minaj, Cardi B, Lil Baby. Like, yo, you're like one of the top choreographer is not the best. I know for me that I've met, like, you got to really put some respect on your own name.
And put some respect on it.
Yeah, yo, like, we, like, for real, like, I brought you on here. Like, yo, I want people to know who you are. You deserve it. And like I said, I know I talked about it earlier. You asked, like, why am I on this show? Like, I admire what you have done. And obviously, I'm sure the people that are listening, there are some that know you, but we want the people that don't and haven't heard of you, they will know you after you get off this show.
When you're at the top of the game, you want everybody to know you at the top of the
absolutely.
Game.
Absolutely. Trust me, you are definitely at the top of the game.
I will say, out of all the artists that I've worked with, I had the honor of choreographing and working with Missy Elliott. Sorry, I don't know if you can hear my dogs barking, but
it's all good.
Missy Elliott is now somebody that I consider a sister and a really good friend. But I was hired. So she was actually the one artist that I wanted to work with my entire life. And I mean, I wanted to dance for this woman. I moved to LA to dance for her. Wow. And my whole dance career, I never got to dance for her. I got to freestyle in one of her music videos as an extra when I was younger, in my 20s, but I never got to dance for her. And when my dance career was over and I transitioned on to choreography, that always kind of sat on me and weighed on me, like, dang, like the one thing I wanted to do, I never got to do. And not discrediting everything else I had done and who I had performed with, you know, I mean, Beyonce and Prince are huge, but Missy was it for me, you know. Mm. And even on tour, when I was with Beyonce, you know, and we were the headliner, I was always in the front watching Missy's set every single night, mm-hmm. learning the choreography from the stage before I had to go and perform my set, you know. But Missy reached out to me on Twitter because she saw something that I had created to one of her to her protege's song. So her protege, Sheree J, at the time, she had seen something and she hit me up and she was like, hey, she's like, she started following me. She DM'd me and she was like, hey, I saw what you did. I saw what you did with these kids. The energy is crazy. Would you be open to doing a flash mob out there in LA to this song and, you know, doing this whole thing? And I was like, well, actually, would you be open you and Sheree coming to LA? Yeah. And I create an entire show for Sheree and we showcase her at Carnival, which is a huge choreographer's showcase in LA that artists come to, producers come to, casting directors come to, and all of the entire dance community comes to, and it's a huge, huge thing. We've had people like Christina Aguilera, Britney, Janet, Missy, come and watch these shows. So I was like, if you want to put her on with the dance community, like, let me create something and let me create a flash mob within the club without anyone knowing. So we had 150 extra dancers scattered along in the audience on the balconies, on top of the 30 dancers and kids that I had on the stage where we showcased Sheree and she came out and rapped, and then Missy spoke about that project after, and then Missy ended up hiring me to be her choreographer. So I was choreographing for her for 5 years, and then Missy called me personally and was like, hey, I need kids for Super Bowl, and you have the best kids, and I trust you with kids the most. You get me 4 kids and choreograph their section for the Super Bowl. Right. And you guys don't understand. Like,
that's awesome.
Mind you, I've been in the business for, I mean, over a decade already. You know, I've been here 20 years or whatever, 19, I think. But, like, I can't even, like, begin, like,
yeah.
First of all, like, how does Missy have my number, right?
Right,
like,
how'd she get, yeah. That's, know, Missy, like, that's Missy Elliott. She can get your number.
Hey, girl, so I'm doing Super Bowl like it's nothing. Like, hey, I'm right. So many kids, you know? Right. And then to be like, I trust you the most with kids.
Out of everybody.
You your kids for Super Bowl. It was like,
right.
Like two bucket list moments in one. And I can't even begin to tell you what that experience was like. And being able to put my 4 kids, Casey Rice, Gabe DeGuzman, Big Will, and Charlize Glass, who are now 4 famous kid influencers and dancers in our industry and on social media, that got to dance with her when they were like 10 years old.
Wow. You know, that's awesome.
And to be a part of that process and to be able to be there with Missy and the dancers and to be able to work with Dante Corday, who was Missy's choreographer, and just it, I mean,
That's awesome.
So just tell us, so what, I mean, everybody has that one person. What makes Missy that person for you out of all the artists? I mean, there are so many artists. So many
reasons.
Right. Yeah. Just can you and maybe give us your top 3 reasons why Missy, she's that person for you.
She is the most creative genius in the entire world, period.
Oh, wow.
I've heard, yeah, creativity. Wow. I heard she's that.
Like, the most, and I understand everyone has their lanes. Like, her and Timbaland together.
Yeah, unstoppable.
Oh, crazy, right?
It's a problem.
Crazy, right?
Like, nobody has ever done what Missy has done. And for me, I don't think anyone will ever do what Missy has done. And that's basically how I feel about a Michael Jackson and a Prince and a Whitney Houston. I feel like nobody will ever do what those creatures did on this earth. They were put on this earth, and we are just so fortunate to be able to have lived through the time that they were here, because I don't think we'll ever see anything like it. Now, there are incredible geniuses also in the industry, like Lil Wayne, Drake, Kanye, Rihanna is, oh my God, like one of the most, you know. But Beyonce is on there as basically, like, I kind of hold her in the same regard as like a Michael, a Prince, and a Whitney in her field. Missy has broken all barriers from body image to lyricist to the beat that her and Tim created together, to the artist that she's written for, to how many number ones she's had, to her fashion.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's music videos will ever touch her music videos.
Right. Wow,
besides Michael Jackson. But Michael's not even,
he's on a different planet. Mike's on a different planet.
Yeah, where Mike is. Yeah,
he doesn't play fair.
Right.
We can't even talk about him.
His own lane.
All right, that's what's up.
And it's like, how, and I know you said name three things. I can't, because I just can't.
It's creative. I get it.
Right.
This woman, and like, there, I promise you, there's not one artist on this planet, for me anyways, where there's literally not one song ever that she's ever written or had on her album that a dancer and choreographer can't create to, that can't look like, I've literally probably choreographed to every single track she's ever had. Because it's that inspiring. Like, Missy Elliott is the dance community, period.
I'll put it in three words for you.
Okay.
Creative, artistic, and genius.
And those are
understatements.
Yeah.
Right. That's what's up. I mean, hey, shout out to Missy Elliott.
Hatch,
we might need to get Missy up on this thing.
We might need to. That would be great.
Man, we might have to use you to plug and get Missy on this thing. Because, man, I want to talk to Missy.
And you know what I love about Missy, too, is that she is one artist to really find raw talent.
Yep.
And showcase them. Like, raw street dancers that would never have the opportunity to dance for, say, a Beyonce, a Mariah Carey, anybody like that, because they're not, you know, like, polished, you know, or whatever you want to call her. They can't do choreography, like, you know, whatever, but her eye for raw talent and just kids from all over the world that are just incredible that you would never think that could break into the industry. She puts in her work, and you are just blown away by these kids, you know.
So speaking of raw talent, so like I said, you've been in the industry 20 years approximately, and I know, so you've seen from 2001, 2002 dancing from what they do now, totally different game, right? I know for me, the first time when I saw the Les Twins, I lost it. I was like, I've never seen the human body move like that. You know what I'm saying? So who over the last 20 years that you've seen, you're like just blown away from, like, I've never seen something like that.
There's a couple people for me. Oh my God, you guys have to.
And what they do.
So there's this dancer and genius creator named Robert Green. I first met Robert Green, and his handle on Instagram is Star on Stage.
Okay.
Star on stage. When I tell you, this kid from fashion to musicality, like his ear, what he hears in the music, to his freestyle, to his choreography, to everything, like this is the best way to put it. He's the prince of dance. So
wow, he encompasses and embodies everything that you would want.
How you view Prince in music is Robert Greene in dance, period. Wow.
Dance, okay.
And so
Star on stage.
I had a show on MTV that was called Going Off with Trisha Miranda, and it was basically centered around me and my dancers at Millennium Dance Complex. And I was executive producer on this and also like a host talent because I was the choreographer on there, and then I was choreographer. So I was like three titles, right, in this thing. And I had all these kids come in every week to take my master class and audition. And they had to basically go head to head against each other. They had to battle each other. They had to do all these things. And there was, the show ended up not airing ever. It was like 3 years of us like doing voiceovers, changing the name, MTV, like I think Netflix was in talks, and then YouTube Red was in talks. And then after 3 years, they ended up just shelving it. It was very devastating for all of us, but whatever. Yeah. That's besides the point. But the moments that we shared in there and the things that we saw and the things that Robert Greene alone did while we were filming was like unbelievable, you guys.
Wow.
Like, on anyone that's even not a dancer
can appreciate what you
like. He is, it's like not normal. It's not normal. We, you know, he's an alien in our business, for sure. Mm-hmm. And then I think one of my favorite creators is a friend of mine named Sean Bankhead. He's Missy Elliott's choreographer now.
Okay.
He's Normani's choreographer. He's done everything. But Missy's like, you know, like right-hand man right now. And he's a young guy. He's a lot younger than me, from Atlanta. His choreography. I'm a big fan, and I'm a choreographer, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Sean Bankhead is my favorite choreographer in the whole world. You know?
Well, you know what? But I do want to still go back to, again, when you say kids, right? You're talking about your kids and the age groups. Still kind of let our listeners know, is it a class or is it a school? And then, of course, how can they, you know, kind of, if they want to come out here to LA and they're chasing after the dance dream, how can they, you know, kind of get to this school or to this class?
So all of us are basically independent contractors. So there are choreographers that have created like dance crews or dance companies. But for the most part, we're all just individuals that take at these professional dance studios. So you have, you know, Millennium Dance Complex, that's a studio with a big red wall that, all my viral videos were shot in Millennium, you know, and that's like, that's the most iconic dance studio of all time, period. That's, you know, where, you know, we've held so many auditions for Britney and Pink and Janet and just any artist. It's the most iconic dance studio aside from Debbie Reynolds. That was also another iconic dance studio. But everyone comes out and word of mouth, you just go take these classes, and every studio has their own faculty. And I teach at Millennium still currently. There's a studio, KM Dance Academy. There's ML Studios, and they all offer different faculty teachers. And so basically they're just like one-off classes. Like if you go to take like a yoga class. Oh, I'm just paying for this class today.
Gotcha.
So it's like that. You just come and take a class. So it's not like a dance school. A dance school and a professional dance studio are two different things. So when you have a dance school, there's, you know, a curriculum that you follow, and there's classes that you have to take. You know, maybe you have ballet, tap, jazz this day, and then, you know, hip hop this day, and, you know, company class this day. And, you know, there's like a certain thing you have to follow, just like regular school, you know. So dance schools like that, and you have like your set faculty teachers and that's it at the schools, you know, but with, with these professional dance studios, you know, any choreographer that has name or pull can teach at them. And some of the choreographers have like a set schedule. I'm one of the people that do not. I come in and teach master classes when I have time to, or when I feel like I want to teach a master class. So, and then you can just, you can either come and buy one class, or you can come and buy a package for a full month and have unlimited classes and take whoever you want. And the beauty of not being a part of a dance school is that you can go to all the studios.
Right, learn right.
from everybody, you know? So that's what we all do when we come out here.
Nice. But you're such a heavily sought out choreographer,
you stay
dancer,
working.
teacher. I know, like I said, you know, obviously back in the day, just a few years ago, I know that, and I'm pretty sure it's the same way now. Like you'll put on your Instagram, you know, I'm doing a dance class this time, blah, 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 blah. And you're sold out like instantly, like everybody's gravitating. It's almost like, They have their notifications on, you know, for Trish Miranda. So when you put up like, you know, you're gonna have a class, whatever. People, I mean, you're heavily sought after, and you talk about these kids. You know, how is it being who you are, and then you having to navigate through, you know, having it's like you're like a superstar in your world.
And then not like she is.
Right. I mean, yeah, you're a superstar. You're a superstar in your world. So I thought that was so fascinating to know that, like, yo, you can just put out a tweet or a message on your story, your Instagram, I'm doing a class, this, that, and the other, and you're sold out within 20 minutes.
She's like, I know. that's what I do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right. You know what? I think what it is about me and why that is what it is, I guess, is I think for many reasons. I have the experience. I have the knowledge. I have the wisdom because I've been doing it for so many years. I've trained and worked with the best and underneath the best, and I've had the best mentors and educators help me, guide me to where I have become. But I think the fact that not only do I have those credits and that experience under my belt, but naturally and organically and randomly, I also transition into that social media world as well, to where I also have the social media popularity, and it's weird to have both. There's very few of us that have both, like Brian Friedman, who choreographed Britney Spears' Slave with Wade Robson, is another huge choreographer who was my mentor and the person that I trained under for so long, that also has had a very long career in choreography, dancing, and now social media popularity. So I think with that, and then just the energy that I bring to my classes and the type of choreography and what I teach in my classes. I don't just teach, it's not about like the eight counts and the steps to me. It's when these kids come into my class, I'm teaching a 2.5 to 3 hour masterclass. So you're learning, you're getting a warm up, you're learning the combination, and bringing in major working dancers to assist me. And then you're also getting critiques and feedback, and you're getting the tools that you need in order to become a working dancer. You know, I basically, it's like, I call it like a little boot camp, and that's kind of what,
yeah, that's what it sounds like.
What my MTV show was about. It was the fact that I'm one of the educators that doesn't just come in and teach a combo and things are coming. It's like, okay, I'm going to teach you stage choreography today. I'm going to talk to you about lighting. I'm going to talk to you about lifts. I'm going to talk to you about staging. I'm going to talk to you about moments. I'm going to talk to you about freestyling. So it's a lot. I feel like my classes are more about the lecture and what you take away from what I'm saying versus the steps that I'm giving you. And then I make them all battle at the end of class too to kind of finish out on a positive note and all like support each other, but just that raw energy of just people. Like, I always like my classes to feel like a party, like an underground.
Yeah. Fight club.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, and of all ages, that are just.
Right. Right. I know some of those kids that you mentioned earlier, they were like what 10, whatever, however old, and now they're like superstars. In 2014, you started, you know, posting videos of dancers, you know, from your studio performing, you know, choreography to some of the hit songs, starting with like Nicki Minaj's Anaconda and all that, like that blew up. Like, so what is the story behind starting to film those videos?
Starting to what? Sorry, say that again.
Oh, what is the story behind starting to film some of those videos that went, you know, they went viral?
It was really unintentional, actually. And I think that's why they went viral. I say this a lot, like when you're looking to try to go viral, it's more than likely not going to happen. A lot of people that go viral because it's
by accident, organic. Yeah.
People are drawn to something that's organic and unintentional. So with Anaconda, I love that you did your homework, T. I love that you knew exactly what first video of mine went viral. You better do your homework. So with Anaconda, I actually, you know, I've always been filming my classes since like 2006 when YouTube first started. But it was like on a little phone, like a Sidekick or like a, you know.
Right.
You know,
Sidekick,
a small phone or just a phone and the quality is terrible and you don't edit it and there's not these cool shots and like nothing like that, you know. And there's no titles. You just post it like just raw footage. So we've I've always been doing that. But with the Anaconda video, I had just got hired on a dance convention called The Pulse. And I was like, oh, I need like some footage to just post to like get dancers to come take me at the Pulse. Mm-hmm. Like I want to just showcase my class choreography, you know, and hire a videographer to come in and film it just so the quality's good and, you know, and there's titles and it could just look more professional. So I brought in Tim Milgram and he's a owner of T Millie Studios, T Millie TV. So he is the videographer who, like him and I created this, like, and not, I didn't do it purposely. This is what he does. He's great at it. So we kind of like together, collaboratively created this whole monster of the YouTube viral video thing that became like a whole big wheelhouse, you know? So with Anaconda, I was like, Tim, can you please come in and film this? Like, I need something for Pulse, you know? And he's like, yeah. So I choreographed the combo, choreographed it in a swimming pool, like randomly, didn't think this choreography was anything major. Choreographed it at night in a swimming pool at one of our events that we had and came to class, taught it, and then just posted it. And then,
boom.
I just posted it, yeah. And then it was like that. Combo was like featured in like the Huffington Post and
wow,
like a lot of celebrities had like reposted it, like Nicki, Lil Wayne. It just went really viral.
Yeah, right, no doubt.
So that was my first video ever to. It had a million views in 3 days. I want to say.
Wow. Yeah.
And then it was like, oh my God, Tim, that's so like weird. How did that happen? You know, and it's like because the dancers in there were crazy, like
fire.
And then like, you know, I think I say it takes the dancers, the choreography, the videography, and the music.
Everything's got to come together.
All those put together is what creates something so magical, you know? And so then the next video, it went viral too, and it went even bigger. You know, I want to say like, Bitch Better Have My Money is like 64 million views or something like that.
Wow.
And I was getting like,
that was the anthem, T.
Yeah, I was getting actors like calling my agent and saying, hey, can I hire Trisha to just come into a studio and teach me her bitch better have my money combo. All right.
Well, you know what? I need you to come into our studio and come teach us as well, because right now you got to teach us a little bit. So are you familiar with the sports world at all? Like, do you watch sports at all? Yeah. Not really. Okay. We have a little game we play on the show, right? It's called Start One, Bench One, or Cut One. So basically, get your mind right, since you have
don't judge me if I don't know who they are.
No, I'm not going to ask you nothing about sports. I'm coming into your world.
Talking about dancers.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. So I'm going to give you the scenario. So, when I say start, that means the best, right? That means up front. When I say bench, that's the second best. The third one, or let's say an alternative, like a different one or whatever. The third one you're going to cut, right? So let's say, here's a scenario. You got a 2-minute commercial during Super Bowl that you're dancing with another male performer, right? And these are the three performers that you have that came to the studio with you to audition, right? And you have to start one, you have to bench one, you have to cut one, right? This is to your Missy Elliott song, 2 minutes for Super Bowl. You got Usher, you got Chris Brown, and you got Justin Timberlake. You got to cut one, bench one, and start one.
Right. So who is your top?
You got three. Those three dudes came in the audition. All three auditioned with you. You got a 2-minute video to a Missy Elliott song during Super Bowl.
Okay, Missy Elliott. That helps. Okay.
Okay.
Don't judge me.
We just started.
Okay. I would start Chris Brown.
Okay. Breezy.
Okay. Yes. I would bench Justin Timberlake.
Okay.
And I would cut Usher.
So cut Usher, huh?
Poor old
Usher.
Oh, wow.
Wow. That's a major surprise.
I used to dance for Usher, and I actually, he wasn't a very nice person.
Okay, there it is. Leave it at that.
Okay. That's not why. Oh, I'm not petty like that. I'm very professional when it comes to the word, but for me, like, if it comes to choreography and just performance and entertaining, for me, Chris Brown is number one for me. Justin Timberlake is, I mean, obviously he's like king of what he does, but if we're talking about Missy Elliott music, it's got to be Chris Brown.
Okay. All right. Well, this next one is choreography only, right? You're gonna choreograph one of these ladies, right? They're gonna come in. They have their own song. Yeah. These are the three ladies that came into the audition. You have Sierra, you have Brittany, and you have Shakira.
Current Brittany or?
No, give her 10 years ago, but when she was hot. This is when they was all at their prime.
Yeah. This is the hot Brittany.
The hot Brittany. So I got Sierra, Brittany, and Shakira.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Which one you want to start? One, bench one, cut one.
Okay. Don't hate me.
We go judge you. Don't worry about it. We go judge.
I would start Brittany.
Okay.
Don't get it twisted. Brittany, 10 years ago.
Right. I already know. Okay.
Hey, you bringing something to support your pick, so it's all great.
I would bench Shakira.
Okay, there it is. Okay, last one, right? You're going to perform with these ladies, right? You're not core. You're on the stage with them performing, and one of these, of course, you've already performed, but you're the only other person, so it's just you and her, right? At their show. You have Janet, you have J-Lo, and you have Beyonce.
Oh, I can probably guess these.
Hey, I don't know. I don't know.
You're gonna start
Janet.
Cut J-Lo.
Yeah.
Okay, so any phrase that says cut J-Lo, we go fight. I'm out. You can't never cut J-Lo. You can't ever cut J-Lo. That's against the rules.
Listen.
She's a professional. She's an evaluator.
Janet Jackson
is it.
Queen, period.
Bro, you got to understand, that's Michael Jackson's DNA.
Hey, I know.
Out of respect, care what you like, what you, Janet.
Right, right.
It's Janet. She's got to be here.
Really?
Beyonce, that. Then, Beyonce then follows. Like, Beyonce, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
J-Lo is not as creative as Beyonce.
Okay. You know, and to everybody that's listening, that's no, you made this
disrespectful way, right?
Right, yeah, it's not disrespectful. It's based on your evaluation. You've worked with all of these, or at least know their history and background. So, for all the listeners out there, it's no shade thrown or what have you.
None at all.
This is all
reversed, and it had to do with acting. I will put J-Lo.
Oh,
I love her movies.
Absolutely, right, me and you both. Me, have you ever worked with? Have you ever worked with Janet?
No, but my assistant's on her tour right now. My really good friend, my brother, he's her choreographer. I've met her. I've partied with her, but I've never
Who's out there that you still want to work with that you have not worked with? Besides Janet,
Rihanna.
Rihanna.
Oh, so speaking of Rihanna, she hasn't done anything in a while. I mean, now she's off. She's been very entrepreneurial. She has her cosmetic line, all types of stuff. Obviously, she must be raking in a lot of dough because she hasn't made any music, you know, lately. So, you know,
that means she's not in the studio.
Riri putting in that work.
Yeah.
Riri is putting in that work for show. Okay, well, hey, I just want to say thank you again for coming on the show. Like I said, we appreciate you taking the time out. I definitely want to come cut a rug down there at Millennium one of these days. I got a couple moves left. I got one hip. I ain't got two good hips. I got one hip. But that one hip, boy, I'm on fire.
That's all you need.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, you might have to carve out an entire 24 hours because he cannot dance. I'm just letting you know now.
Hey, I didn't take last place on Dancing with the Stars like you did. I'm just saying.
Hey, I didn't either. For all you listeners, he's always going to hate on me. This is how I evolved on the show. The show is 10 weeks. My partner even said when we did our...
I don't care what your partner said, what the judges say.
Oh, from
Lynn... Your partner lied to you.
From Lynn, Bruno, and Carrie Ann, they will tell you, I evolved every week.
Nobody wants to hear no evolve and moral victories. Like your boy Ricky Bobby said, either your first or your last. That's all we're talking about.
Considering I went in there with zero dance ability. I came in there, it was a 10-week show. I lasted 8 out of 10 weeks. That's more than I guarantee
you. That's huge.
That's okay.
Thank you, Tristan. Huge.
Thank you.
I went in there with zero.
But you know me, when it's time to shine, when those lights shine brightest, that's when your boy comes.
But you ain't better at Jenga than me.
What? Hey,
everybody
listening. Champ. I am champ till this day.
Hey, there it is. Game night champ. Trisha Miranda, game night champ. She must have beat you.
You see how she just slid that in there before I could get to it? Because she knows.
You're going to get a reaction.
Oh, my gosh. She knows I am the top dog at Jenga. She knows that. She came to my place, bro. She goes, she's like, oh, do you play Jenga? I'm like, yeah, I just had game night a couple of nights ago. She goes, all right, cool. Bro, do you know she didn't win a game? She didn't win a game?
Wait. Trish, you can't bring it up and you ain't even win a game. I thought you had won a game and then didn't, but you ain't even. I'm disappointed now, Trish.
She's been dodging me for 3 years. Three years.
He's such a lie.
I ain't never seen somebody dodge me like she's dodging me, bro. I'm talking about ducking and dodging. I mean, every time I'm talking about
I'm on tour or something crazy.
Oh, bro. I'm in
Europe with J-Lo. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
No, she down the street at Millennium.
Exactly. Bro, I'm talking about, it is unbelievable. Been ducking and dodging me for 3 years. The lovely Trisha Moran, one of the top dogs in the choreography world.
Hey, so Trish, tell the audience how they can get a hold of you via social media and or your other platforms as far as YouTube as well.
Yeah, my Instagram is underscore. Okay. I'm like, that's Twitter. right. My Instagram is at one Trisha Moran. So the number one, Trisha Miranda, TRICIAMIRANDA. And my Facebook is Trisha Miranda. My Twitter, which I don't use ever, but it's there if you want to just see what I posted 2 years ago, is underscore Trisha Miranda. If you tweet me, then I'll repeat it. But I stay on Instagram most of the time and Snapchat. But yeah, you can find me there.
Mm-hmm. And definitely, you're still at Millennium.
I'm still at Millennium.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of Millennium, I know before we let you go, obviously I want to get your take on especially the climate that we're in now. And for the people that are listening, in your studio, it's painted the phrase unity in diversity. Can you explain and share with our listeners what that means to you, especially in these divisive times? And how, you know, what you tell us and what you share with us, how can that bring the dance people and not even just the dance community, but everyone together?
People. Yep.
Yeah. So that has been Millennium's motto since they opened, unity and diversity. And basically that just means there's no prejudice against anybody, any race, any body type, anything. When you come into that dance, when you step into those doors, it's all dance and nothing but dance. And to make sure that anyone coming in with a negative attitude, once you read that, you know what it is once you're stepping into there. And the leaders are going to hold that, you know, that mentality and that energy accountable, you know. And that's the type of studio I love to be around, because not only do they still have that on their wall, you know, many, many years later, they're still the number one commercial dance studio to go to find your talent, to find choreographers. You know, everyone knows what Millennium Dance Complex is. So I think even with this time, the fact that, you know, we could still read that on the walls, unity and diversity, and that's such a dope reminder of what our world isn't right now, but what our world should be and what it's always been pretty much in dance. We've always, you know, with dancers, you know, we look at each other, we judge each other based off of, you know, our craft, you know, or our genius. And, you know, and I just say judge because it's just, you know, that's natural for us, you know, it's a healthy competition, but we don't ever look at each other. I mean, I know I don't, and I haven't heard any of my colleagues look at other choreographers or dancers like, oh, well, they're white. Oh, well, they can, you know what I mean? Like, you're dope, period.
Period, yep.
Right, and that was big, small, petite, plus size, what have you. I mean, I like the way that you guys embrace any and all body types that come through those doors of Millennium. And that's what I love. Like I said, when I first met you, I came to the studio. It was just something about, you know, the space, the energy that you brought, and you're still doing it. You're still bringing it. You're still cranking out talent. You're still evaluating and just really just doing your thing. So again, I know for myself, Hatch, the show Get Your Popcorn Ready, we appreciate you coming out, you know, taking time out of your schedule to share with the masses who you really are. And I'm glad I got a chance to know you. I got a chance to have you on this show. So we thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much. And Hatch, you have such a dope personality. So fun talking to you.
Thank you. God, thank you. You know what I'm saying? It's hard having a hater on the show. Oh, you know what I'm saying? God. But I make it do what it do. I want you to leave the show. Again, we're trying to get our audience out there across hopefully the world, but there's always people moving to LA because of the entertainment business, right? That's dance, acting, music. As you're in that space and we encourage people to come out here and chase their dreams. And we know there's going to be some 6-year-old girls and 12-year-old boys coming out here, and they're going to look you up one day. Give them a little nugget that they can go away with from this show to encourage them to come on out here to California and chase their dreams.
Listen, yeah. It's all about timing. Timing, 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 and having a really strong support system and foundation. Always keeping your family and your morals number one, and staying really passionate about what you do. The most successful dancers and leaders in our community became successful because they just followed their passion, and the money came from that passion. We never sought after the money. I mean, to keep it real, like, dancers aren't rich. We don't make a lot of money, you know? Choreographers make more money. Creative directors make more money than that. And then directors make even more money than that. But as a dancer coming out just to do what you do, you know, we are athletes, and people don't know that what we do is very athletic, is very, you know, wearing on our bodies. And you know, he being a part of Dancing with the Stars, you know, and him being an athlete, he know what it means, you know, firsthand to be an athlete. And so going in and having to learn what we do naturally too, like, we are athletes, and we are not, you know, sadly, we're not looked at as an athlete. We're not paid like athletes. So we do what we do just based off of the fact that we love this so much. We cannot live without it. And there's nothing else I would do. And so just staying grounded and making sure I always had my family to go back to, and making sure I created a really nice foundation out here in LA, and a very supportive circle, and supportive as a human, just being keeping me a good human first. Having that to be able to keep your mental, you know, together, because it's not easy. It's not going to happen for you overnight. For most people, you have those gems, those aliens that, you know, they come out and they're just undeniable. Right. So they, you know, are picked up fast. But a lot of us, you know, like, I didn't start working consistently as a dancer until I was 26. And I moved out here when I was 21. And I saw so many of my friends and, you know, fellow dancers go home because it didn't happen quick enough for them, you know. But there's so many lanes to go and dance. You know, there's dancing, there's teaching, there's choreography, there's creative direction, there's assisting, there's styling, there's hair and makeup. I mean, there's so many things to do with dance. And now there's social media and that whole world, and TikTok and stuff like that. So there's just so many avenues you can dive into. But if you're not a good human with good work ethic, people aren't going to want you around. And it doesn't matter how dope of a dancer you are. You have to be a good human, you know, for me to want to hire you, and for me to trust you with my choreography and with my name, you know, attached to your work. So
thank you. Thank you. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, the lovely, talented Trisha Miranda in the building of Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast. Thank you again, mama.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
Absolutely.
Peace. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, the lovely and talented Trisha Miranda. We appreciate you coming on, Trish, sharing your knowledge and your love for the craft of dance. I think a lot of people out there don't understand, like, it's the talent. Right, you got to work on it, you got to practice it, and it's hours upon hours. Again, just like being an athlete, actor, anything, you're gonna have to practice at your craft to be a good dancer.
Yeah, absolutely. And then me having, like I said, my experience on Dancing with the Stars, I'm definitely never going to compare it to what she does. Any of these dancers. I mean, obviously, when you talk about, we talked a little bit about it on the show. When you talk about wear and tear on your body, just those almost 10 weeks that I was on the show, my body was hurting.
We already know you made a glass, and, so I'm sure, buddy.
No. And I'm an athlete. I'm a superb, like, one of your prolific elite athletes. No. And it did a number. Bro, That Dancing with the Stars did a number on me.
Did you have to get in the cold tub during the week?
Oh, absolutely. Bro, trust me. Trust me, those dancers, bro, they go home, they make it look effortless, they make it look fun, but over time, like I said, as you go from a kid to, you know, teenager, and then obviously you're a little bit older and you start doing tours and you're having to do reps, repetition after repetition, rehearsal after rehearsal, that takes a toll on your body. So you can tell just, you know, just talking with her how she transitioned, mm-hmm. you know, from being a dancer at an early age and obviously to now teaching and choreographing, you know, for a number of top elite artists and talents that everyone has heard from Pink to Janet Jackson. Rihanna, everybody. Yeah. I appreciate her coming on. It was amazing just to talk to her and just have an appreciation for what they do.
Absolutely. And that kind of takes us to our three and out segment, because I think number one for me was the story she was telling, how when she worked with Beyonce, right? She came out here the very first time, and you just gave us the example of it was you guys were given a week, I think, to learn your dance. And she gave B, 15 minutes, I think she said, B learned it in. And you gave the difference between the two, between amateur and professional dancers learning.
Right, and that's so crazy. And as she said, I mean, even just being on Dancing with the Stars, I realized that some of the best dancers and was the ones that were musically inclined, that had some background in music or dance. They were able to evolve and really advanced further than some of the guys like myself that had no dance experience. But that was the beauty of the show, is really showing the journey and the evolving of, you know, different dancers with different dance partners, and how they worked well together, just the chemistry. So again, when you talk about, you know, being musically inclined, having some dance background, that definitely helps you. So for her to teach Queen B, a routine on the spot, and she pick it up in like 15, 20 minutes, bro, they call her, she's Queen B for a reason. Bro, picking up some dance, like a minute and 30 seconds of a song, bro, that's not easy.
Oh, I already know. So, well, there it is. Now, I think number two
would be her love and affection for working with Missy Elliott. Yes. And it just shows you how, yes. you know, she, as again, she had a scholarship to do, go to ballet school. Yeah. She turned all of that down. And it shows you when you have a dream or you have aspirations to do something, and when you put your mind to do something, great things will happen. And the stars obviously had to be aligned, and for her to have, have given up a scholarship to, you know, you never know where she could have taken that mm-hmm. scholarship degree and been, but she sacrificed because she had her mind set on a goal, a dream, and it came to fruition, mm-hmm. you know, by meeting Missy Elliott, the stars were aligned, and she, that was like her person. And you could just mm-hmm. tell the energy when we talked about Missy and I asked that question,
she couldn't even talk. She put her head down, put her hands up.
Right. I love it. Like, you know, she was like bowing down to Missy. So hats off to Missy. I want to meet Missy now. I mean, we need to get Missy on this show, because I want to know what it is about. I mean, she told us, obviously, that just the creativity, and I explained it, the artistic ability of her and
creativity.
And like she said, that was an understatement.
Right. And again, it's weird how, I thought it was out of the box, because Missy Elliott wasn't the biggest dancer in the industry in her career. Right. You know, she was known for other things, her beats, her rhymes, all that stuff.
Right.
But for a dancer to look up to somebody still in the industry, but not directly, that's a big deal. You know, because again, if you say, okay, who's your favorite football player because you played football, everybody would like, okay, you think you're going to name a football player. But for me growing up, it was still like Jordan was it. Even though he was a basketball player, it was still Michael Jordan was, you know, beginning, ending of all in sports, in the sports realm overall.
Right.
So there it is. And I think the third one, you know, we always try to tie it back to, you know, kind of what our show is about, sports and entertainment, how she kind of calls all of her kids and all of her dances and herself, they're athletes, right? Again, like you said, it's like your body's taking a punishment. You're working, you know, sweating, bleeding, all these tirelessly over. And don't forget, this is not like a couple days where these people are doing this. They're doing this for years upon years. So you have to be in some type of shape. Your cardio is going to be up. You have to have some type of strength, you know, muscular strength throughout your body. So again, they are athletes, and we like to, you know, compare them to, you know, just dancers, but I like to compare them to all other athletes as well.
Right. Yeah, no doubt. It's almost like, you know, saying that, like, you know, sometimes cheerleaders aren't athletes.
Right.
You know what I mean? But me, like I said, I probably would be before probably experiencing Dancing with the Stars, if somebody would like ask me, are dancers athletes? I probably would have said no.
Right. But now going through it.
Now, oh, man, the utmost respect for any and all dancers out there. And trust
absolutely.
Me. I mean, we have us having Trisha Miranda on here. Trust me, it was the highlight of my day to get a chance to hear from one of the top choreographers in the game. And, I mean, she's worked with some of the best artists of music that we listen to on an everyday basis.
And so she's worked with Jennifer Lopez, Gwen Stefani, right. Taylor Swift, Prince, the Black Eyed Peas, Daddy Yankee, and the list goes on.
Yep, Janet Jackson, man. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, we don't know. Like I said, I remember just watching Yo MTV Raps or BET. you know, you see all the videos and you know, have the background dancers and things of that nature.
Yeah.
Like, bro, like she was. Like, bro, right, exactly. We was watching some of her work, her creativity. Mm-hmm. So, man, shout out to Trish Miranda. Keep doing your thing. We're the top in the game.
All righty. Appreciate you coming on, Trish. Again, thank you, thank you, thank you. Don't forget to tune in to Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast on the Himalaya app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And definitely be sure to follow Trisha Miranda on her Instagram, especially her handle is @1. Trisha Miranda. That's T-R-I-C-I-A Miranda. M-I-R-A-N-D-A.
There it is. Don't forget to subscribe on the Himalaya app where to get your podcast.
Peace.